off to talk because I can't.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
I'm in my nose. Okay, so in this online, they have really good information on a lot of the sculptures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lay this out here to kind of...
Those are just...
you probably know what you're doing already. But go ahead.
Those are some good maps for... these are nice things to give people, but this is a good map for a walking tour downtown.
Yeah.
And that's just sculptures. There's, I think, 60-some now in Hamilton.
Who owns them?
The city of Chester.
Is that a...
And the city together.
Non-profit.
Well, the
non-profit organization.
Non-profit, yeah. They put them all up and they care for them, but the city insures them.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. So, what do you want to accomplish today?
I want to. It's what you want to do.
Okay.
I don't know.
We want to put on a tour. That probably the tour will be kind of a potpourri of murals, sculpture, and architecture.
Okay.
Kind of just to, so it's easier on us.
Okay. Yeah.
and
downtown.
And downtown. Yeah. We already have a downtown tour. That's kind of like the history of Hamilton, sort of. Mm-hmm. But this will be a separate tour that we'll offer. And we're kind of just, I may have mentioned last time, we're kind of just looking for fun stories to tell about the sculptures. You can tell who the artist is and maybe what his inspiration was, but sometimes that's not that exciting.
Well, I think when you start out, you should talk about the history of the city of sculpture because they're responsible for all of this. And it started 20 years ago in 2020.
That's a good idea.
And the
was
way...
Was it always called City of Sculpture?
It started as, I'm going to tell you the history, when they built the Government Services Building, which are down on Martin Luther King, they put up they had a committee beforehand to pick a large sculpture to go in the plaza there. Mm-hmm. The original design had a clock, but it was going to be dwarfed by that building.
Yeah.
So the Fitton Center put a call to artists to design a sculpture representing the community to go in that plaza. And the one that's there, it's called Gateway. And you probably should go down there sometime and read the plaque about it because
it's been a while.
It all means something, everything about it. Let's see if it's on here.
Oh, it should be.
Number 27?
Might be.
Then we go to 35.
There's 21,
here,
30.
Although not 26. It's called Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you're good upside down, too.
I am backwards.
you know, that's a good place 66. To start.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah.
And if you're combining sculpture and murals, that's another good place to start because you can walk right across the street and see Hebe. Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah.
And there's a sculpture in that garden, too. And the sculpture called Hebe,
which is actually the original sculpture in Hamilton.
The original one is in Sims Park.
Sims Park, Sims sculpture.
But then this one is the second oldest.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's something to point out. And it used to be in front of First Financial, and it had a drinking fountain and another little and one for horses and one for dogs. At the bottom. If you look at the sculpture carefully, you'll see all those things.
But there's no water function.
Not
right now.
No. And you know the history of her is she disappeared for a long time.
I remember a story.
And they found it in someone's backyard.
Down on B Street?
It was taken down because they were doing construction. And I think it was more over on... Haldeman, I think that's Haldeman, but it's not the Haldeman that's
my neighborhood.
Way out there.
Not the west of Eaton, but east.
Oh,
where Cleveland kind of makes the curve. I think it was over in that area. And it was just some in someone's backyard that it had been placed there to protect it during construction. And they kind of forgot about
it. Our words back. Who's got
it? Yeah. Right. So that's an interesting thing to tell about that. And then you can come on down that side of the street, and right there next to the floral shop is a stone sculpture. And it's called Secret Garden. That's this one right here. And the interesting thing about that is the artist came to me and said, I do stone sculptures, and I want to have one in your city of sculpture.
Oh, okay. She found us.
Yeah, he found us. And he gave that to us at a killer price. And now it would cost a whole lot more. But that one is there in that little garden. And at this time, that's the only stone one we have. We're looking to get another one. We've got one in mind, but we have to raise the funds.
So it was 2005. Was he in any particular order? We were hitting it pretty good by then, weren't we? By 2005.
We were getting there, yeah.
It wasn't like the third sculpture.
Right, right.
Okay. He
knew about us because and what I was going to tell you about how we got started is when they did the government services building, when they had the dedication of the buildings, Robert Taft was the governor, and he came down to dedicate it because a lot of state funds went into it. And he had stopped at Pyramid Hill on the way here.
Okay.
And then he saw that sculpture, and he said in his talk about how Hamilton was rejuvenating, and it looked like it was going to be the city of sculptures.
He declared it.
He just said that.
He said it.
And then after he said that, a group of us were with Harry Wilkes. And Harry said, you know, we should be the city of sculpture. We should form a committee to start getting sculptures to put all over town, because we have Pyramid Hill, and then if Hamilton had them all over town, that would be a destination.
It sure is, yeah.
So he asked a few of us to come to Pyramid Hill for a lunch and discuss it, and he asked me to come. So I went. And there were about 25 people there, two dozen at least. And he said, he was talking about how we should do this. We could make it a nonprofit. We could have people donate funds and stuff like that. And then he just announced that he said, and Jerry Hammond is going to form a committee.
I like it.
I thought, what? You know,
you remember that part.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass him or myself by saying, you never said that to me. But so we just let it go. And I said, Harry, afterwards, Harry, you didn't talk to me about this. And he goes, but you can do it. You can do it. So we did form a committee.
That's great.
And
well, thank you.
Once we did that, then people started paying attention. The first one, the Fitton Center already had a couple, because they had Shared Vision, which is the lady sitting on the bench.
They had it there before 2000?
No. Yes, right. when they started the Fitton Center.
When it started, I can't remember what year that was. Okay.
And then the Carruthers, they loved Seward Johnson's work. And they purchased the girl on the bike with the dad giving her first ride. That was first ride. And Dick Fitton bought the one that's by the front entrance, which is a young man and a young woman sitting on the grass with a radio. And that's called First Spring.
Spring.
And so from there...
That was 2000 when you had the committee meeting, or you know?
Yes, 2000, year 2000, the fall of 2000. And then from there, we had individuals that started paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent out a letter and said, you know, we were forming this nonprofit, and if you would like to give money, a donation, we had a fund we set up a fund at the community foundation. And we had Dr. John Stewart came to me and he said, you know, my family was one of the pioneer families here from Dr. the fort. Okay. And he said, my wife and I would like to commission an artist to do a bronze of a pioneer family.
Oh, okay.
And we'd like to put it near the cabin.
Family, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he said, can you find an artist? So we did, and there's a bronze sculptor in Cincinnati.
Oh, he's from Cincinnati?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we contacted him, and he said he would like to do it. And he came up, and he interviewed the Stewarts, and then he took asked for photographs of them when they were young.
Oh, okay.
And the faces on those two figures are their faces when they were young, because he said he wanted to get the family portraits of thing. Okay. So that's how that one happened.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, then his brother, Dr. Jim Stewart, and his wife were on Pioneer.
I was just trying to keep track of
The Pioneer. No,
it's called the Pioneer. I'll just write down.
Pioneer family.
Pioneer family, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then his brother, Dr. Jim Stewart, and his wife were in Florida for vacation in the winter, and Terry called me up, and she said, Jerry, we see a sculpture down here that we just love, and we will buy it and pay to have it shipped up there if you want it. And I said, can you send me a picture
of it? Let me
think about it. Yeah. And that was the one that's out there that's the grandfather.
Man,
reading to the children.
Oh, that is lovely.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
That one is probably one of the most photographed one because a lot of people put their children next to it and then take a picture of it. So that's how we got that one. And then we had a little tussle with some people in town who are in the art community, and they wrote an article in the paper.
Of course, you can't have anything good without a tussle.
Right. About how we're getting little bronze people all over town, and that's not going to make us a art community. And you know, at
that.
The time,
yeah.
that was the emphasis that before all this development, the emphasis was, how are we going to make us not be a rust belt town anymore, and decided to go to be an art town, so it would be a destination.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. So I did not appreciate that article because I felt that they were damaging what we were trying to get started, and there was method in our madness.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a meeting with the two gentlemen that were responsible for it. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want that to be
part of the.
Sure. And I said, you don't know this town and I do. And I said, it's not a savvy cultural town. And I said, people don't even know the difference between a statue and a sculpture. And they call everything a statue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, we were going with figurative sculptures first because they understand that when they see it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We have to get people to buy into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if we put up, look at the controversy that Gateway did. Gateway. Oh my gosh, there was article after article. People.
Why'd they put that rusty piece of
a piece of junk. We could get something from Cohen's, and they paid too much money for it. And actually, they didn't pay anything for that because Judge Mosher and his wife paid for that.
Yeah.
So I said, you aren't helping the cause by writing negative things about it. So they kind of listened
and quit.
Well, and then I said, we're going to have the, you know, more contemporary.
And I agree with you. You have to start out with some people understand.
That people understand and wouldn't criticize and just say they're wasting money.
Yeah,
you know,
they're wasting taxpayers' money.
Right? Yeah, right. And none of this has been purchased with taxpayer money. Yeah. Well, maybe one. And I'll tell you that story, too. So while this was going on, Jerry, being an architect, knew what the Ohio rules were as they changed in construction and everything. Mm-hmm. And when he said to me, when they built the government services building, that a law had been passed that 1% of the total cost of a building that was public building used with mm-hmm. taxpayer money had to be devoted to art. So he said, why don't you approach the county commissioners and suggest that instead of putting posters up in all the offices that nobody is going to see and calling that the art, mm-hmm. to spend all the money on one sculpture. And I went to see Corky Combs, and he agreed, but he said he didn't want to pick it, and he didn't want anything that we picked to be controversial because it was government, you know. So we picked a snapshot, which is the one that's up in the administration building in the courtyard there, and it's a whole bunch of little children of all different races sitting on a sitting on a bench. And it's a bronze also.
It's outside or inside?
It's outside.
Where's it at? Up here or in Journal Square?
It's not in Journal Square. It's at the next corner.
Oh, right up the next corner.
At the corner of Front and High. So.
Oh, right here over 11?
Probably. Let's see. Where are we on this page?
Is it in front of the Butler County building, I suppose?
Yes, okay, right. In front of the Butler County Administration building.
Right here.
There it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what we purchased with the money. So that's how we got that one.
Where'd the money come from? Which
1% of the construction of the Butler County and the Hamilton building.
But that building already existed.
It didn't matter where the art was, it was the money that they would use for art for the other.
Gotcha.
But they just used it, and we placed it at a Butler County building.
Gotcha. Which project did the budget come from?
It came from the government services building. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm with you now.
So that's how we got that one. So then. I think the next one, the first sort of, contemporary one that we bought, we had a professor from UC in the DAP program.
Okay.
He started hearing about what was going on up here, so he came up here, and he talked to some people on the board, and he said, boy, I'm really interested in this. I'm a sculptor myself, and I teach it, and I would love to do one for this, and you don't even have to pay me. I'd just like to do it, to have one, you know. And so he did the one. We originally put it in Journal Square, but then we got a bigger one. So the one that's the blue and the green and the red over on Main Street.
Sure, yeah.
Right here.
So his name's Ray
Two
Miller.
Two halves of the whole. Ray Miller. Yeah.
Okay, Professor Ray Miller.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
He has since passed away, but that's how we got that one.
Okay.
And at the time when we first started, also Neil Cohen was on the board, mm-hmm. and he had an artist, a young man who actually worked for, I think, Medtronics, but he was a guy that sold it, and then when they put pacemakers in people's hearts while the doctors were doing it, he would be in the next room
tuning it up,
doing all the electronic stuff to get it where it's supposed to be. And he, as a hobby, liked to do found object sculptures.
Found objects.
So he asked Neil if he could go in the junkyard down there and pick out stuff. And pick out some things and weld. And Neil said, you can even have one of the big buildings and do it in there. I've got big cranes.
Isn't this funny? Cause it's like you hear about this.
Yeah.
Stuff. Okay.
Big cranes and everything that you could do big stuff and lift it up and everything else like that. So he did this one, which is down on Neyland Boulevard, as you first go down Monument and turn into Neyland Boulevard, it's right in front of you. It's right here.
Dennis Baker,
Star Formation.
I assume he was a younger kid, right?
No, he wasn't. No, oh, okay. He was a middle-aged guy, okay. And he eventually quit his job with Medtronics and did this full-time.
Oh, my. Okay.
I don't know where he is now.
What's the name of it?
Star Formation.
Star Formation.
And where is this one located? It's not, it doesn't have a number on it.
If
so
you
it's
go,
out.
If you go down Monument Avenue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to turn into Neil and Bull, what turns into Neil and Bull over by the lawyer's office.
Okay.
You're looking straight at it.
Okay. So it doesn't have a number on here, but it should be on the map. Be added on the map.
Yeah. Well, there's, I don't know.
Well, it should be added on there probably.
Because that's downtown. No, that's because that's not considered downtown.
It's a block too far.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's off the map.
Let's see.
So we must have paid this guy a little bit.
We paid him for that. Okay. Yeah, I can't remember how much that one was. So that's just sort of how it all got started.
Okay.
This one was already here, and Dr. Glenn's bought that a long time ago, and that's called Space Tower.
I thought it was called Countdown.
No, Space Tower, okay. But it is a countdown.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Okay.
Are the people that paid for things, are their names listed on here?
Nope.
Nope.
Is it are some of them not wanting to be known? Okay.
Right.
Is there...
if they wanted it, there's a plaque and it says it. If they didn't want their name...
Right. So we can read the plaque.
Yeah, people can read the plaque.
Give somebody some credit or something.
But, you know, feel free to tell that it was donated by a physician in town. You can say that, but you don't say their name unless it's on them.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Was 43 donated by a physician in town?
Which one?
Space Tower.
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's kind of how the whole thing got rolling. And then once we started getting them.
Isn't that funny how it started?
Every year. Then in 2002... Yeah, in 2001, in the fall of 2001, I believe, I'm having a terrible time remembering people's name. Well, Arctic Diamond, he was the owner of Arctic Diamond, which is an ice carving company down in Fairfield. And he came up here and talked to me, saying that he was really interested in all the sculptures that were going on up here and thought it was great. And he was a competition person,
mm-hmm.
besides having the business.
Mm-hmm.
And he had won national awards and everything, went all over the country doing it. He said, I've always wanted to put on an ice festival.
Okay, great.
And he said, we'd like to do it here. And that was in October.
And 2002 or so?
I think it was 2001, because we actually put it on in 2002.
Okay.
And I thought, oh my gosh, how could we do this? So I went to the board and I told them, and we had a discussion about it. And we decided, well, if we don't do it, he'll go somewhere else. Maybe Fairfield or somewhere, and mm-hmm. we won't have the chance, and we're the best city to do it because we already have sculptures. So we voted to do it, and that first year we were doing it blind, and we
learned
a lot. I think
learned a lot.
Yeah, you're not kidding. But he got all the international sculptors to come and everything like that. Yeah, and he kind of told us how to do it. We just had to get people to donate, and they were donating blind because they didn't know what they were going to get from it or anything. We didn't even really have a theme. We just called it an ice sculpture festival. And that's how that got started.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you don't remember what his name was. That's okay. Some guy that owned the artist.
I can look it up.
I'll look it up later. Don't worry about it. I can find it.
Okay. I can find it. I don't think he's there anymore. He sold the business.
Okay. Well, that's not
and moved somewhere else. The guy that owns it now is named Brady. Can't think of his last name either. I just call him Brady. Anyway, I can find all that out for you. So that's how Ice Fest got connected with City of Sculpture. Okay. And so now it's just grown and grown. It's run by a board of directors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when they go off the board, they are invited to be on the advisory council for the board. And quite a few of them come to the meetings all the time anyway.
The advisory council.
Yeah, we can't vote, but we can.
They enjoy coming, yeah.
Well, and
they got a history.
They advise how to get things done.
Okay.
For, you know, who to go to and that kind of stuff.
We don't get to vote, but they're
there. Yeah, we don't vote on anything. I go to almost all the meetings anyway, still to today.
That's good.
And we have the current president, Jacob Stone is the president. He works for the city of Hamilton. And the vice president is Taylor Welsh, and he is an artist. He works for Mike and Cindy Dingledine at CDA.
Oh, okay.
And he designed the bird mural, with the birds coming off of. That's my favorite one, but he's really a good artist, and so that's artist and architecture and all that. That's his training.
Okay.
So they're the current president and vice president. And the most recent one, of course, is...
What is the most recent one?
The one over at Eaton, Maine, and Millville.
Oh, yeah, of course. Park, Embrace or something.
Embrace,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be landscaped this spring.
Yeah.
Are they going to add any water features to it?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. When you start adding water in our climate, it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have lighting.
Okay.
And landscaping. So it'll be very beautiful, really. It's already beautiful, but you have to... this is something you can tell people because it's very important.
Okay.
Whenever we put up a large sculpture, we usually have to have careful landscaping around it, and it usually is something that's very thorny.
Oh, really?
to keep people from climbing on them.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a lot of trouble with that down at Markham Park and River's Edge.
Mm-hmm.
People just think they're a jungle gym or something.
Yeah.
And even though we put signs up by them, we had little metal signs made saying, please do not climb on the sculptures. They do it anyway. So that's... So we try to get a variety of artists and a variety of materials. We have some with Corten steel. We have stainless steel. We have bronze and stone and painted steel. You know, so... I think people didn't understand what Corten steel does.
What does Corten steel do?
Corten steel
does it rust?
It rusts till it turns black.
Hard steel.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it's good for maintenance because you don't ever do anything. The rest of them we have to clean
and
polish and all that kind of stuff.
Corten kind of gets a patina, but it's going to be there forever.
Yes, it keeps rusting until it turns to black rust and then it's done.
Yeah.
And Gateway is just about there.
Mm-hmm.
The guitar and the people.
How do you spell Cort?
C-O-R-E-10 with the number.
Let's see here. Where is it?
For?
I'm looking for the one in Markham Park, the kids all holding hands.
Oh, like in a circle or something, right there. Let's see if it's on the here.
This is Corten steel. The big dog is in front of the
12
park.
Or 12 or 20. Of course, they're not.
It's the way that you fold it. Here's 20, but that's not it.
Okay, so
see it on here.
What's the name of it? Do you remember?
No. Here it is, right here.
Four people.
Yeah, that's Corten Steel too. That's okay, down at River's Edge. So,
15.
But those are samples of Corten Steel. If you want to point that out to people.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to point out.
People don't, I mean, if they're trying to learn things about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all what people want on the tour is just to learn a little bit.
Yeah.
Go back.
Make it look like you're smart.
A little smarter. Yeah.
And that's a good one to explain the rusting process and that it will eventually turn almost black, but you never have to do anything to clean it. All these stainless ones we clean.
I want to get a car made out of that.
Yeah.
There you go. They'd be pretty expensive, though. Corten's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the bronze ones really have to be cleaned a lot and waxed. And the City of Sculpture does that. We have volunteers that...
Volunteers?
Yeah. You do that in the summer months. We try to do about, maybe six a year.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And the stainless ones we have to clean, and then they get oil put on them,
okay.
A special oil. So that's all part of what the City of Sculpture
does. What do you put
on
the bronze one? Do you put like a wax on them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a kind of tree wax, I guess they call it. So then we had just families donate them. You know, it's just we've had lots of people donate them, and then we have...
we'll ask every tour if anybody would like to donate one.
Yeah. You get one eventually. Right. You can hear us.
You got one. Jerry, we got one.
Yeah, that would be great. So.
Okay.
What's the long-term look? What are the plans? I mean, we've got quite a few sculptures here. Are we talking about doubling it over the next couple decades, or is there any thoughts?
Well, we've already more than doubled what we've done in 20 years. So, of course, we take opportunities when it presents itself. Mm-hmm. We would never turn it down if it's something...
Mm-hmm. Somebody wants to pay
nice,
for it.
Nice, yeah, and they want to... but we're Embrace, we had families each donate $2,500, different people, to get the money, because that one was over $100,000.
Wow. Okay.
And when you get into these really big ones like that, you're over $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen and some that we'd love to have, but oh my gosh, they're just there's some snails that we'd love to get. They're so whimsical. We'd like to get some more kind of whimsical things if we could.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But we use the money we raise at Ice Fest. Uh-huh. That goes in the kitty to buy sculptures. Mm-hmm. We have people who donate. We have one person who has put the City of Sculpture in the will for an endowment to take care of them if they'd get damaged or anything like that after she dies, we'll have that fund. So people have, I don't think you could do this in every town. I think the reason you can do it in Hamilton is because we have a very generous population, honestly. And because we had a lot of industry and stuff like that, that those families still have a presence in this town.
We got some old roots.
Hmm?
We got some old roots here.
Yes, we do.
And it's just, it's not too big, not too small.
Right. Yeah. And they love the town.
Yep.
And... they've been very generous with their money, and of course the Hamilton Community Foundation has been a godsend for everything in town.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you know the history of that, but it is bigger than a lot of big cities.
Is it?
Yes. their finances are bigger than a lot of big cities' foundations.
It started by Fitton, didn't it, or something?
No, it was started by five men. It was started by Bill Wolf, Hunt Parrish, Merstein. If you go down there, they can give you all that.
Mostly all lawyers or something like that?
No. Some lawyers, but some. Merstein was, you know, Elder Bierman. And.
I read that.
Bill Wolf was a scrap dealer. Just all that, all that kind of thing. But that's how the Kemp Foundation got started. So.
Okay.
But they are a godsend to this community, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they are. That's awesome.
We wouldn't have a lot of things if it wasn't for the foundation, Hamilton Community Foundation. So that's sort of the, you know, the history of how it got started, and now it's just governed by a board of about 12 people.
But on what kind of what Pat said, we don't have a goal of like one or two sculptures a year. We just kind of like take the opportunities as they come. Mm-hmm. Somebody brings something up, we'll say, oh yeah, we kind of do need to sculpture at that corner.
Mm-hmm.
Or so it's not like an acquisition budget or anything like that. It's more opportunistic.
Somebody comes forward.
Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Somebody says, hey, I've got 50 grand. If you guys can come up with another 20.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. That. And some people say, you know, I've always wanted to see a sculpture here.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider putting one there? And we have, we're in the process now of making a list of places that we think would be fitting for different size sculptures. So.
What about memorials? Are people coming forward with like memorials?
A lot of people give money to the
that.
Community Foundation Fund as memorials when they pass away.
I'd like to see a sculpture go up.
The Wolf family has given us two in memory of their parents. The Someday, which is a bronze caddy up at Potter's Park, was given in memory of their father because he loved golf.
Oh, that's really
And a Family of Man, which is the red one over as you go up to Park Avenue.
I love that,
That was given by the Wolf family in memory of their mother.
What was the other one the Wolf family gave? That one and...
They gave the Family of Man, which is the red one.
Yeah.
And the other one is called Someday, and it's a caddy, a bronze...
Oh, they gave both those.
They gave both of them. One was in memory of their father when he passed. And then when their mother passed, they gave the family a man in memory of her. And they no longer lived in this town at the time, but they just...
Oh, okay. Is that the Wolf family that used to live out the end of Columbia Road? And
Well, that was Joe, the son.
That was the son.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen the caddy sculpture, I guess, since
Because you don't play enough golf.
I don't golf,
It's at hole 10.
Yeah. It's right at the
hole one and 10.
Entrance, Where you start. Mm-hmm. It's really nice.
It is nice.
So that's been how we some of them have come about too, you know.
Okay.
So when the weather gets nice, it would probably be a good idea if you guys would just walk this with your notes.
Yep.
And talk about what you would tell people when you're there based on your notes.
Yep.
And if you do it a couple times, honestly, it'll just
You
won't even have to have notes.
Has no one? People have led tours before, have they?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I did a lot of them.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago. I don't anymore, but I'm getting too old for that stuff. But yeah, we did lots of them, and we had lots of retirement centers. Uh-huh. They're always when things are normal, they're always looking for. Things to bring their people on buses, and some of them could we did walking tours if they could do it, and there are a lot of ladies groups that like to have this as a program to go on a walking tour of the downtown ones, but the nursing homes I did some as walking, but I also did some where I got on the bus with them, their bus. And told him where to turn, and they drove around, and then they had a loudspeaker system, and I could tell them while they stayed on the bus because they're too infirm to get off the bus and walk around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that's another thing that you could possibly do. Yeah.
Bring your own bus.
Well, a lot of the retirement homes have buses.
Yeah, they do. And that's what they do to get them
out
and entertained a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Who owns the, or who maintains the murals that that are up all over the buildings?
Well.
That's not City of Sculpture.
Right. No, that's not okay. City of Sculpture. That's a different committee, and that operates out of the fitness center. And they pick, it's called Street Spark.
Is that what that is on here?
Might be.
Yeah, there's some Street Spark. I didn't know what that was. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's where murals
Mural locations. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Street Spark.
What's the name of the committee?
Street Spark.
Street Spark. Okay, I thought you said something else initially.
And that's run through the fitness center. And Gene Akis Smith is, I think, the chairman of that. And they have a committee that announces, you know, when they're going to do it. And they pick from submissions. They ask for submissions, and they pick the submissions and where they're going to go. Mm-hmm. And they pick the sites of where they're going to go. And I guess they've got three more going up this next summer, this coming summer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
Hamilton High has some in their building that the art teacher and the art students have done.
Oh, great.
Which would be really, people don't get to see those, which I think is a shame because, but they're also, it's great because he's teaching those kids how to do it. I think he's the artist that did the one on, you know, where Lounge 24 is now? At the corner of Court.
Yeah.
The back of
the back of that
building. I think he's the artist that did that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'm not positive about that, but I think he is. And he's an art teacher at Hamilton High School.
Okay.
So that's... That's a neat thing.
He's teaching his kids murals.
He's teaching kids how to do murals.
When is the Ice Fest?
It's usually in the last week in January, but it was canceled, of course, this year.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to have it.
Off year?
It's every other year.
Yeah.
We started out having it every year, but it's too labor intensive.
Yeah.
And they haven't made a decision if they're going to do it next year because... We should, if we were, I don't think they will. I think they'll do it maybe 2 years
right now,
because they would have to start now.
Yeah.
And they can't even meet in person.
Right.
So,
just to keep it on this.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how that goes.
Are there any, is anybody talking about putting any art around Spooky Nook? I mean, are they doing it as part of their project, or is there any thoughts? Or?
That's private enterprise, and I think that would happen after it's built.
Okay.
He hasn't approached us at all.
Okay.
Or anything at this point. They're just trying to get it.
Yeah, they got to make money first.
Yeah, they've already got, I think somebody told me they've got 22 weekends filled with already for after they open up with tournaments.
Wow, for next year?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to
change the dynamic.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have that many. That's why all the development on.
I mean, I'm excited, but I'm not looking forward to the traffic problems.
I think the traffic problems will all be solved by then.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to come down from Randall Hill. There's just no way to get here.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the construction and everything.
Well, the construction is hard, but you know, Main Street's going to be much better to shoot through up by the school because of what they're doing there. It's a nightmare now. But eventually that's going to shoot traffic through there much faster because it's going to have more lanes and turning lanes. And that's one of the problems there is to turn into those businesses or to turn into the school or anything else like that. Everybody has to stop while the person turns in, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think they're doing a lot with a lot of things that and B Street is going to be different. They've already cut on the curve, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
They've cut another lane in.
Yeah.
So I think they'll get it done. And the other thing we have to remember about Spooky Nook too is not everybody's going to be coming in from this street.
Okay.
You know, people come in here from
Indiana direction.
Pennsylvania and places. Right, they'll come up 128. Right,
yeah. Ways will take them.
Yes, because from where they're coming from.
Yeah, depending on where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. And from north, they're going to be coming down, not through town.
Yeah.
You know, so. But the reason he was so interested in this location is because we are one day's trip, southwestern Ohio, Butler County and Cincinnati area, have the biggest population for a one day's trip from anywhere in the United States. And when you have these tournaments,
that's what you want.
Yeah, because those people can come because
what the population density is. How many people? 10, 20 million or something? I don't know what that would be.
I don't know either.
One day's drive. I mean, that includes Chicago.
Sure.
That's the whole Midwest.
Yeah.
I can get to St. Louis and Atlanta in a day.
Atlanta. Just think about that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why when he saw, after his was so successful out in Pennsylvania, and it's just out in a field. It was a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so successful. And then we started looking. That's a great trip out there, by the way, if you ever want to just take
Pennsylvania's
pretty, isn't it? Yeah, and to go to Spooky Nook, and then you can, and on the way there, you can stop at the Flight 93 Memorial.
Beautiful.
Oh,
of course, I went there when they were building it, so I'm sure
it's a lot nicer now. Absolutely gorgeous. And then you can swing around and go through Hershey, Pennsylvania, and that's very interesting, too. Mm-hmm. That whole town was built by one man.
Yeah.
And, go through the factory. It's fun to see how they do it. But anyway, that makes a really nice, you know, four day trip that you can drive. And so when he was so successful, he started doing his research, and he honed in on the population centers and where they could go one day's drive. And
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Did he find us? He didn't find us, though, did he? I thought we just randomly called him and said, hey, we got an empty building here. I don't know. I was just speculating. I have no idea.
It's that, and it's both things.
Okay.
It's both things. They sort of had a...
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was kind of looking.
He was looking.
Yeah.
And the city manager, who's really on the ball, said, we have a lot of empty buildings. You might want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And they get word of who's looking for space, you know, the cities do. And Joshua Smith just jumps on things, you know. He's a very creative person, honestly. And so he came here and he took one look at Champion, and then it grew because he thought, oh, I can do more here than I even did in Pennsylvania, because I can not only have the facility for the sports, but right across the street, I can have a hotel and a convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an even different business.
Mm-hmm,
And that convention center is going to be the second largest, only to what's in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The Duke
Energy.
Is there any talk about repurposing the Beckett Paper buildings?
They're tearing those down.
The big giant buildings?
Have you been by lately?
Yeah, I walk by them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're gutted, but the exteriors are so beautiful.
The one on Martin Luther King Drive, that exterior is beautiful, and I'm not sure they're going to tear that down.
That's the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the old Hoobenow and Rensselaer factory
there,
yeah. What about the Niles Tool Works that Neil's got? Are they going to... Anybody trying to take care of it, or?
I don't think so. I think that building's just...
There's some beautiful architecture in that building.
But the part that's on, that's... The Cohens are sitting on a gold mine.
They're sitting on gold mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have made a better location for Spooky Nook than Champion, I think, because it's...
It's not as big, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No,
maybe the lot's not as big. I don't know.
It's not.
Do you think they'll eventually tear that down and put another hotel up or something? Yeah.
Somebody will make them the offer that they can't refuse, and that's what... Because that, I mean, that to be right across the bridge, people could be in a hotel and walk across the bridge and
Black Street Bridge,
go to the place for the tournaments and everything.
Convenient.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd heard anything other than that.
No, not yet, but I think people are looking. So anyway, does that help you get going?
That's a good start. Uh-huh. When are we going to meet again? A couple, few months?
Yeah, okay. Whenever you guys are ready. Yeah, just I would say this is the easiest one to get started on because mm-hmm. there's a lot there and it's established and you can do a nice, mm-hmm. you know, hour tour or a 2 hour tour. But I do think you need to think about Greenwood Cemetery.
Oh, we're working on it. Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's going to be the easiest one.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then,
I got to tell you a story in a second here.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm not ready. Okay. So the more you dig into Greenwood, I mean, everybody's buried there that was, you know, in the 1800s, that died in the 1800s. And anyway, I was reading this Rosemary's newspaper clippings. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Stella Weiler Taylor. And about page 25, she starts talking about Main Street. Have you ever read the article about Main Street? And she talks about, I can't think of the name, but the second person she mentions is, and Dr. Henry Mallory. Have you ever heard that name before?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. He was on the Memorial Building Committee. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So this is going to be a boring story for you. It's so exciting for me, though. So who's Dr. Henry Mallory? So I look him up. Well, he wrote a book in 1895. And in the book, he basically writes a page or two about every person he knew in the 1800s that he admired.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what a treasure trove. So you look at these people, and they're all buried in Greenwood Cemetery, except the darn Catholics. You can find his book online, and I was reading it online for a few nights, and I told Pat about him, I found an original, first edition from somebody in Indiana, and it came. And I was looking through it, and the very last page, the guy that owned it originally, W.B. Caldwell, said, I own this book in 1904, handed to me by Dr. Henry Mallory. And I thought, that's cool.
My gosh.
So I showed that to my wife two nights ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This morning, she walks out, and she goes, I thought I'd seen that name before. And you should see my house, Jerry. It's got it's got stuff hanging on the walls and the ceilings, and the people that lived there before me, that we left their stuff hanging on the walls and ceilings, and that's where this came from. There was a business card, and behind some books on my bookshelf says, Dr. Henry Mallory, physician and surgeon, 228 Main Street, Hamilton, Ohio.
Wow.
I'm like, I put that card there. I said, out in my shed, Kim, I got that out of a satchel. I'm going to have to go home tonight. I think I threw the satchel away.
Oh.
I think it was an old leather satchel.
I bet it was his.
It was tools and stuff. It was tools. And I'm like, what is this? Like an old dentist satchel or something.
I've done the same thing. I've thrown stuff away.
And I think I had it for years. I'm like, this is so cool, but I
don't know what it is.
I just need to clean it up.
Don't
know if it's out. Yeah, I don't know if it's out there right now. I still don't know if it's in my shed or not. I got to go look tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good one. I can't top that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
Greenwood's gonna be easy.
That would be a good one, and I think it's good when you do a downtown one to include the murals and the sculpture because it's both art, but it's two different art forms. Mm-hmm. And all the murals on the parking garage that they just did, mm-hmm. that was interesting because they all had to use the same colors. So
orange
and black, and it's sort of interesting.
Oh, underneath. Mm-hmm. Okay,
Now that one can change over the years because they might leave those up for 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. and then paint over them and do it again with mm-hmm. a different mm-hmm. theme, you know.
Yeah.
But it sure makes an underground garage look a lot better.
Yeah, it's so fun.
I haven't walked under there and seen it since it was roughed in. They mm-hmm. hadn't finished. A couple people might have finished it, and there was some stellar looking work there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of it looked a little bit more primitive. But
right.
I guess it's all finished. Now.
Yeah, it's all finished. All local artists.
It was last summer when I think I walked mm-hmm. there.
If you bump into anybody that would like to help us with a tour or be part of the tour or whatever.
Okay.
Or knows something that, man, you got to put this in.
Pat and I are going to be perfect for historical type tours.
Yeah.
Greenwood Cemetery will do that fine.
Yeah.
Art and architecture, we'll have to fake our way through. Even though I find it interesting, it's not my bailiwick. Yeah.
You will.
If you want to teach or learn something, you should teach it. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be teaching people.
You'll be scared the first time you do it because I was.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, but then after that, it just came so easily, you know.
Yeah.
And I told you that one little anecdotal story about
mm-hmm.
the girl sitting there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people sort of like those stories hear them. But it's about everybody enjoys art in a different way, you know. And those little boys, they were trying to.
You saw that firsthand. You said.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw them do it.
Yeah.
So. And I just gave me a chuckle. Yeah, because I just, having raised three boys, I know what they were like when they used to get the Sunday catalogs to look at the women's underwear.
Sears catalog.
Oh, goodness.
So anyway, it was just gave me a chuckle, and especially older people think it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
My nose story is more negative.
Oh, yeah, you said you had a story, too.
It's anticlimactic. The monument used to be called Water Street,
mm-hmm.
and Water Street came into High, and then it went down where the alley is over there. There were factory buildings right here, up against the hydraulic, which is Market.
No, Market Street.
Market Street. Was a canal.
A canal. Yeah. That was the hydraulic. Mm-hmm. So there was buildings from the river's edge all the way up to where Water Street was, which isn't there anymore.
Water Street, that was here.
Yeah, it was here, then it went Chicky Jack, and then it went over there.
Oh, gotcha. It didn't fall.
So there were buildings right there. Mm. So in the late 1800s, the guy that owned the land just south of where the monument is, where the fitness center is now, he wanted to sell that building and raise it or make it available for the people, because they knew they were going to build the monument here. They were talking about it in the 1880s.
Okay.
Well, on that land was what they called the last standing building of Fort Hamilton. People referred to it as the Powder Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
That eventually got donated to the Daughters of the American Revolution, and it was located right there where the fountain is, right by the bridge.
Okay, so it was on the north side of the bridge.
Right up against that factory building that was right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that family that owned that building sued the city and the people and the Daughters of the American mm-hmm. Revolution because it was blocking their entrance. It wasn't, but it became a big famous lawsuit.
Yeah. Because it was an ugly building and they wanted to go.
It was
ugly,
just an old
ugly old building.
Yeah. Well, they fixed it up pretty nice. So it went on for several years. They had to bring a judge down from Eaton because everybody here was biased.
Yeah.
And they finally, in 1906, yeah, this thing's been under construction for 5 years, 1906, and that was, they located a log building there in 1903. So for 3 years it's been there. 1906, the judge finally ruled, but they had all these people testify. One of the guys that came in and testified said, that was never at Fort Hamilton.
Oh.
They said, well, how do you know that? He says, because my dad bought the building. He bought it up in Fourth Ward and moved it down here.
Oh. Was he lying or was he sincere?
Don't know. But he knew the entire history. He says, when I was young, the building used to be located out Court Street, but not inside the grounds. It was two-story, and it was bigger. It was relocated to Fourth Ward. It sat there for years. The second story was removed. Finally, they just demolished it and took the timbers from it and built a new building over here, right over here, out of those timbers. It had clapboard on it, and there's pictures of it in the newspaper with the clapboard. It looks like a little cottage.
Uh-huh.
And it was sitting there. If you take the boards off, it's logs.
Okay.
He says, it was never part of Fort Hamilton. Okay. He says, at best, it probably sat outside of Fort Hamilton, but it's probably not that old.
Mm-hmm.
Then the judge says, this is all very interesting. I'd like to talk to you about it over a beer, but it has nothing to do with this case.
Oh.
And that's all that was reported in the paper.
Oh, my God.
They never resolved the issue.
Oh, my God.
It was washed away in 1930.
And then a few years, 10 years later, it was washed away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they didn't.
Yeah, it only stood there for 10 years, so.
Huh.
And all the artifacts in it were all washed away.